Congratulations. You signed up for one of the hardest jobs on the planet, and we know the struggle firsthand.
We're Dan and Amber Sueza, church planters in Western Canada. Join us for a conversation about the big dreams and hard work behind every thriving church.
Welcome to New Church Hustle.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the New Church Hustle. I'm Dan.
And I'm Amber.
We are very, very glad to spend the next 30 minutes with you. Today, we're going to be dropping a bit of a bonus episode. This will be a little out of order from the rest of the material that we're preparing, but it's such good content that we couldn't wait to share it with you. We think whether you are an established church that's already meeting or somebody who's just trying to get started, this topic of being portable and excellent, providing life-giving services in a rented venue, this is something that everybody needs to know about. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to share this with you guys. Again, just to give you a little bit of context for us, we pastor a church in Western Canada. We're 2 years old as a church congregation, and we currently meet in a movie theater. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that and the benefits that it offers to us. Let's dive right in here and talk about the fact that as a portable church, if you don't have access to your own facility during the week, you need to embrace portability. You've got to recognize that portability is a blessing to be embraced and not a curse to be endured. You signed up for this New Church Hustle, didn't you? You wanted to do this. You wanted to have church, even if it meant meeting in a rented space. And so you need to embrace the portable lifestyle instead of fighting against it. If you fight against it, you're going to end up miserable. You're going to burn out your teams. But if you embrace portability as a part of your fundamental strategy as a church plant, then you can leverage a lot of the benefits of using somebody else's space to your benefit.
I think there's so many benefits to being portable. I love that we meet in a movie theater because so many people come to us and they're like, wow, I've never been in a church in a movie theater. And because we come from the South US, we kind of look at them like, really? Like never, but they really think of it as just a wide open door that it's new and it's fresh and it's not walking into a church building. It's walking into a theater, and a theater is familiar. Cineplex is familiar to them.
Yeah, basically, we found that portability, meeting in one of those locations, is really more attractive to lost people. They might not step foot inside of a church building, but they just saw Bad Moms 3 on Friday night, and so they're willing to come back to the theater on Sunday morning because they kind of know what to expect.
And the same thing goes with schools. Like, if you're renting a school, that's familiar. That's in your community. And where I would probably say that schools are less popular in that they know where it is. Like, everyone knows where our Cineplex is because it meets at the Cross Iron Mills Mall, and everyone knows where that mall is. If we were meeting in a school, it might be less popular because they wouldn't know where the Our Lady of Grace school is in Evanston. Like, where is that? But I think both have great opportunities where, like, a theater already comes with chairs and a projector and a huge screen, where a school has bigger space and you can put in chairs and pull out chairs. And so there's different things that are valuable in that portable attraction. And then I really love that our portable church keeps people serving. Mm-hmm. And we have people on our team that say the portability team is their favorite team because that's when they get to, you know, they're setting up stuff, they're making coffee together, and they're doing life together. That's where they're getting to know each other.
Yeah, if we didn't have a portable environment, there are probably 15 or 20 people that wouldn't be serving. It's just such an easy entry point, particularly for men and for kids. They can jump in and push a cart, and it doesn't require a whole lot of investment on their part, but it's an easy on-ramp for them to start serving on the team.
And I really also love the opportunity to teach your church that the people are the church, not the building.
Yeah, so true.
So when you're meeting in a theater or a school or a community center, wherever, they're getting the fact that that is not the church. They're not saying, I'll go to the church. They're saying, we are the church. And it's easier to get that point across to your congregation when you're portable. I love it.
Yeah. The last benefit that we really see from portability is that it gives you the opportunity to advertise your people instead of your building. So I know lots of churches that have gorgeous facilities, and I'm a little jealous, I'm not going to lie. But what I've seen is when you've got a really, really nice building, you love to show that thing off. And so when I go to those churches' Instagram pages, guess what I see? I see lots of pictures of their outside of their building or the inside hall. Hallways or whatever, and there's less photos of the people that attend there. And with your social media, the primary thing you want to post again and again and again are the smiling faces of people that attend your church. When you're in a movie theater, you don't really want to show lots of pictures of the exterior or the inside of the facility. You want to focus on those actual people that show up week in and week out. That's just good advertising. Listen, you need to remind your team every single week of these benefits of portability. If you don't cast this vision, if you don't tell them every single Sunday why you're meeting in a portable location, then they're going to lose heart and they're going to give up very, very quickly. Your motivation for portability cannot be, well, we don't have the money for a building right now, so we're going to put up with using somebody else's space until we get the money. No, this has to be a fundamental plank in your strategy to build an outpost of the kingdom of God.
In our Next Steps class, that's our assimilation process, we get the question all the time, are we going to build a building? And usually we tell them no, that we love the theater, that we love all the benefits that it has and just the benefits that we just listed to you. We tell them those. And I think that it should be a part of your assimilation process if you're portable, that you should talk about those things constantly.
Now, it's not always easy meeting in a portable location, that's for sure. And before Amber and I launched Connect Church, we had zero portable church experience. I had always worked at traditional Southern Baptist churches that had their own facilities, sometimes quite nice facilities. And so when we knew we were going to be a mobile church, we decided that we were going to spend about 10 months and every single Sunday we were going to go around the city and visit other portable churches. And what we found completely shocked us. Honestly, a whole bunch of those churches that we went to visit, they looked like carnivals. They were sketchy. Their layout was confusing. It seemed a little untrustworthy, particularly in kids' department. I mean, you know, like they did their very best with what they had, but it seemed like in many of those churches, they bought into the excuse that, hey, we're using a rented space and so people will understand. Here's the truth. Church people will understand. Jesus people, they'll buy in. They'll say, okay, it's all right. I get it. We can roll with you because the preaching's good, or we like the music, or you use the right kids curriculum. Church people will understand, but lost people won't.
That's so good.
If you show up, or if they show up rather, and what they see is less than excellent, if it puts them off at all, that will be more than enough to push them away instead of welcoming them in. People's expectation is that we provide a clean, safe, welcoming environment. And so we tell our people at Connect Church, we're going to meet that expectation, no excuses. Mm-hmm. We will not tolerate any sort of, well, it's not our space, and so we'll just do the best we can. No, we're going to make sure that we give them a clean, warm, safe, welcoming environment.
We walk into our theater, and it's so messy sometimes. Ugh. And you know, like, we don't mind coming in and wiping down the seats because we believe that when you're renting a space, you should leave it better than you found it. And so we give them some Lysol wipes and they wipe down every single seat. And it's a great opportunity also to pray over those seats.
Well, that's true. But let's be honest, those seats sometimes are just really gross. Yeah. You don't want anybody, including yourself, sitting down in a sticky movie theater seat. I mean, we've found pizza on the floor. I've found half-drunk liquor bottles in the bathroom stall. Who's drinking vodka in the bathroom stall, you guys? I don't know, but somebody's doing it at our theater on Saturday night. We've found dirty diapers. I mean, it's not always the cleanest environment when we get it, but before our guests show up, we are going to make sure that it is a clean environment for them. I've heard it said that we clean for family and we scrub for guests.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of truth to that. If you're expecting guests on Sunday, then you need to scrub. That means if you've got to sweep, sweep. If you've got to clean seats, clean seats. Take out trash. Do whatever it is you need to do to create a wow moment for the people that are showing up, particularly for the very first time at your church.
We also tell our team that Connect Church is a no-ish church. So we don't tolerate any ish talk.
No ish.
We don't accept culture that says we start at 10-ish, or our kids' area is secure-ish, or our lobby is clean-ish. That doesn't fly with us. We have some light trees that are in our worship theater. And there was one season where one of our portability guys just didn't quite lock it just right. And in the middle of the service, one of the light trees fell. Mm. And it almost fell on top of a girl. And that, like, you can't recover from that. And Daniel did a really good job. But, man, it is so hard. And I think about it could have been so much worse. And so we don't tolerate the ish, and we really corrected that, and we made sure that everything is coming back in line, back in order, because we want everything to be excellent.
So there's this tension of people's expectations that we give them this clean, welcoming, safe environment, and then there's this other end of the tension where we can make excuses because we're using a rented space. I would just challenge you as a church planter to decide from the very beginning that you will make sure that you provide this safe, warm, welcoming, clean environment mm-hmm. for everybody who shows up at your church. Let's talk a little bit about excellence, Amber. Tell me what you think on the subject of being excellent.
Yeah, excellence is not about having the best. It's about making the best of what you have, doing everything you can do to put your best foot forward, particularly in relation to the first-time guest.
Say that one more time, because I think it's really, really good.
Yeah. Excellence is not having the best. It's making the best about what you have. Do everything you possibly can to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, that is such a critical distinction. A lot of times we think if we have the nicest things, then we will necessarily be excellent, but that's not how it works. Excellence is a choice. It's an intention you make, and it might encompass having some decent equipment and obviously clear signage and all of those different things, but above all else, excellence is making the best of what you have. And the reason that this is so important, and this is kind of we drill this into our people all the time at Connect. We talk about it in our Dream Team rally with our volunteers in particular. The reason that having this clean, warm, welcoming, safe environment that's as excellent as we can possibly make it, the reason it's so important is what a first-time guest sees is true of us Christians, they will assume is true of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So if they see that we are kind of thrown together, we don't seem prepared, our people are not overly excited, we're not warm, we don't seem to be taking good care of the kids that are in our care, if that's what they see is true of Jesus' people, they will assume that's also true of Jesus. Now, that's not the case, but they don't know any different. And so we've got to present them with this representation of who Jesus actually is. We've got to be friendly. Mm-hmm. We've got to be safe and caring well for their children. We've got to have things prepared and put together so that when they walk in, they don't get the wrong impression about the God that we're worshiping and serving. What a first-time guest sees is true of us, they will assume is true of Jesus. And so our first impression really, really matters.
Yeah. And I think our first impression, it's not the building, it's not the theater, the school that we're meeting in. It's actually our digital presence. It's our website. It's our social media, our Instagram, like all of those things. Those are what people see first. And so what that looks like matters. And that you have to look at that as part of your portability because they're making the decision before they ever step foot in your door.
Yeah. Digital excellence often gets overlooked. And so, Amber, you're totally right. When you talk about the fact that nearly everybody's going to visit your website before they walk through your front doors. So it doesn't matter if you have the cleanest lobby in town, if your online presence doesn't communicate that you are clean, mm-hmm. that you are well-intentioned and well-thought-out, and you are ready for guests to show up. If your online presence doesn't communicate that, then oftentimes people won't ever show up. You have to create the first positive influence interaction with people through excellent online content.
And what does that include?
Well, I think it includes a few different things. One is you need to have a presence where people are. So the basics are you've got to have a website, of course, because people are going to look that up first. But you're also going to find that the majority of people you're likely to reach are already on Facebook and Instagram. And so those are the two channels that I think churches should really be focusing on, building an online presence. Again, people are never going to drive by your rented location during the middle of the week and see your signage, or at least that's extremely rare. So the way that you're going to insert yourself into their daily life is through their news feed. Now, at Connect, we started with a Twitter account, and I guess we technically still have it, but we don't use it because we just didn't see any return.
Not even on
it.
Twitter.
Yeah, and so you've got to make some decisions. If you're in a college town, maybe Snapchat makes a lot of sense for you. But if you're in the suburbs, then there's not really any reason to be on Snapchat. Focus on Facebook and Instagram. Again, the reason that we're talking about this digital and online presence is because you have to convince people before they ever show up that you are a safe and trustworthy group and not a cult that's going to make them drink Kool-Aid the second they show up. This also means, guys, that you're going to have to spend some money
yes.
when it comes to your online presence. That's your website, your branding, all of that. I understand that you can get a logo done on Fiverr for $5, but you're not likely to get a great one. And pretty soon, you're going to end up with a rebrand. Maybe a year or two in, you're going to realize that what you got was not enough to sustain you as an organization. And so you're going to have to pay the money eventually. I would suggest it's best to do that up front. To give you guys an understanding, in 2018, you can probably expect to spend anywhere from $3,000 all the way up to $10,000 if your designer is doing all of your signage and all those sorts of things. I know that's an insane amount of money, but recognize that your brand is basically the only advertising tool you have as a portable church
yeah.
because you don't have a facility. And so everything you do in the digital, online, and print communication space has to be that much more excellent because you're trying to convince people that you're worth a visit.
I want to name drop what we use as our resources for when we put our digital presence out there. So our logo was created by radiantprinting.com. Jason Burns owns that company. He's also an ARC pastor in Florida. And he put together a spot on logo for us. We love it because it has like a 3D dimension to it. And we also used launchplant.com, and they created a really cool Instagram. If you go check it out, Connect Calgary, it all links together. It looks really fresh and neat. And so Quincy Harmon put that together from Launchplant. So check those guys out. If you're needing help, they would be happy to talk to you about any needs that you might have.
And there are a bunch of other great vendors and people who can help you with this. You can shoot us an email and we can point you towards a whole bunch of them. The key is that you're finding somebody who knows what they're doing. You would never let somebody who had bad theology or no experience step into your pulpit and preach for you. And so in the same vein, you shouldn't let somebody who has no real graphic design experience to design your entire brand, because it's so key and critical. I'll also say that excellence, in particular in the digital realm, but this applies to your physical layout as well, excellence happens when you prioritize clarity over creativity. You can make something that looks really rad, but if it's frustrating to use, or if people don't understand mm-hmm. what you're trying to communicate, then you're going to end up pushing them away. So the user experience is just as important as what we call the user interface. Make sure your creativity doesn't outweigh your clarity. All right, let's talk quickly about venue excellence. How do you make the most out of the space that you're renting out each weekend, especially when you're evaluating a space and trying to decide, is this the right location for us to meet in? There are a couple of things you want to think about. First off, does this location give us visibility and ease of access to the people in the community? Is it near to where they live, work, and play? If it is, then it could be a prime location for you. If it is completely in the middle of nowhere and nobody's ever going to drive by and see it, or it's very difficult to get to, then you might find it much harder to get people to show up in the first place. There are three limiting factors that you need to consider when you're looking at a venue. The first is parking. The second is the availability of kids space. And the third is the total seating capacity in whatever your worship auditorium or space is going to be. We're very fortunate that we have great parking and kids location, but we're tight on seating capacity. I would suggest if you find a venue and they have ample parking and lots of seats for adults, but not a great space for your kids, look for something else. Mm-hmm. Because kids ministry is so incredibly important. It can seem like an easy one to compromise on, but you really shouldn't. We almost made that mistake early on.
Yeah, we did.
I'm so glad that we didn't. Three limiting factors: parking, kids, and seating capacity. All right. Now, when you are dealing with a venue, you have to understand that you will get approval through the boss, but you'll get favor through the custodian or through the local site manager who's going to be there each Sunday morning. It is the most important relationship that you can develop. So do everything you can to make your custodian at your school happy, or to make the Sunday morning early manager happy when he shows up and unlocks for you. Because if he communicates or she communicates that they're happy with being there for you guys, then the manager will let you stay as long as you possibly want to. By the way, you should do what is expected and not just what is inspected at your venue. You'll find out that you can probably get away with a lot at your venue. You'll have access to all these different storage rooms, and you know they'll probably give you some leeway and things. You might be able to get away with a lot, but I would encourage you, don't try to get away with anything, because it's going to cost you in the long run. Mm-hmm. You want to create a great relationship with your managers, with you, the people that you're renting from. And so you've got to make sure that your excellence as a church extends to your excellence as a tenant. You are a partner with them in your community, and you want to leave a good taste in your mouth. Part of the reason, guys, is because there may come a day where you're blessed with a new facility. Maybe it's your own building, or you move to a larger space, and there's going to be another church planter that comes behind you, and he's going to want to use that space that you're leaving. Mm-hmm. And if you ruined the relationship with the site management, you've actually damage the kingdom of God. So yeah, be sure you're investing well in that relationship.
And I think we can also identify our venue's biggest strength. That's really important. And we need to leverage that. So if we're talking about the theater, if we haven't sold you on how awesome theaters are by now, theaters have the screens. We get access to projection. I know not everybody gets access to a $30,000 projector, but we do, and it's amazing. And we also are connected to the mall food court. So we even have a slide that's happening between, like, early on and right after our service, where we ask people, hey, when you're done here, go hang out in the food court and get to know someone. So our whole team, at 12 o'clock, we're all torn down, and then we go over to the food court and we eat. I love that, because it's almost like it's a whole other small group, a connect group, and we're getting to know each other. And it's just one more time that we get to have community together.
Not only should you acknowledge your venue's biggest strengths and leverage them, you need to make sure that you're naming and owning your venue's greatest weaknesses. Yeah. You need to see the potential, but acknowledge the problems. So when we were looking for space before we settled on the movie theater, I alluded to the fact that we had nearly taken a community center as our potential meeting spot, but there was no kids space. And I kept trying to fight to make it work, because I could see all the potential in every other area.
You're so stubborn.
Amber was not having it. And she was 100% right. And the problem was, I would not acknowledge the weaknesses in that venue. And I think we would have hamstrung ourselves if we had pushed forward with it. So I'm glad that, you know, she made me see the light on that. My friend Jonathan Brooker, who pastors a live church in Virginia, he says this: whatever issues you have to overlook early on will be the issues that haunt you later on.
That's so good.
Oh my gosh, that's a good line. Whatever issues you have to overlook early on will be the issues that haunt you later on. So sure, you might find a great venue. You might sell yourself on its positives and advantages, but don't overlook those negatives, mm-hmm. or they might come back to bite you.
One of the best things that we did was to visit other churches that were meeting in a theater. So there's another church that just recently built their own building. But before that, they had been meeting in a Cineplex just like us for years. And so we went before we launched and we met with them. They took us up to where all their projectors was and they showed us all their multimedia, how they ran the service, walked us through everything. And that was so beneficial. Shout out to Calgary Life Church. We love you guys. Thank you for doing that. We learned so much. And I really recommend, if you're pre-launch right now, to do that. Find another church that is doing things the way that you want to do it, and then ask them to just shadow for a Sunday. Just check out how they're doing things and see if you can find the holes that you might run into, the things that they've already covered up and they've fixed, but the complications that you could possibly run into, and the plus sides, like, oh, we get to use this stage, or we get to use this projector, whatever that might be. Compare that and see what's going to be beneficial for you.
Let me give you a pro tip. When you're approaching a nearby pastor and asking him for access like that, your first conversation needs to include the fact that you're not looking for any money and you're not going to take any of his people. You need to let him know offhand. You need to let them know from the beginning that you are there just to observe and to gain best practices from what they're doing. That will put them at ease, and you'll be much more likely to get a yes out of them. Not only should you visit other churches that are killing it in your type of venue, but when it comes time for you to actually launch in whatever location you've chosen, do not skip the rehearsal services. Yeah. Our particular playbook does not involve what we call a soft launch or preview services for the public or friends and family to come check out. We want everybody to show up on launch day. That's their first time they show up as the public. But we do have rehearsal services. We're going to have a whole episode that explains the difference and the rationale, but you should not skip these. In fact, if you can do three of them, that would be ideal. If you have to get away with only doing two, that's fine, but I would not launch if I only had one rehearsal service. Oh, there's too much that you don't know until you're trying to set up and tear down on the clock.
I want to jump into that for a second, because our very first rehearsal service, we had just gotten our team together. They were barely trained. We had a few meetings in our living room with them, and then we're like, okay, we're going to show up at the theater. We're going to do this. And we're meeting together, and I had met this guy online who said, hey, I want to join your team. I'm going to show up. I gave him the date. I'd never even met the guy before. He showed up. He's like, I'm going to help on your portability team. I really think that the enemy is going to try and fight everything that's happening, especially in your launch season. So this is the crazy thing that happened. This guy came up, he showed up late, then we're already training, and then he had a seizure in the middle of the floor. Now, I know this was out of his control and whatever was happening in his life, but it was like a huge distraction. The whole team came around, and it cut like 30 minutes to an hour off of our 3 hours that we had together as a team. And things like that are going to pop up. You never know what's going to happen in your rehearsal service. And if that had been our only rehearsal service, we would have been really hard pressed to launch the very next Sunday with excellence. So plan for stuff like that. Something's going to happen. So don't be overwhelmed. Don't be stressed when it comes up, but just go with the flow and say, it's a distraction. I'm going to push that aside. The enemy's not going to get me today, and stay focused, and then make sure that you have more than one rehearsal service. We suggest 3 or 4.
All right, so we've talked about having a great online presence, a great physical presence, choosing the right venue. Let's talk a little bit about equipment, because a church plant really does run on equipment, not just sound equipment, but also signage and nursery items and things like that. So we decided when we launched that we were going to contract out with a company that provides this sort of equipment to mobile churches. We used Portable Church Industries based out of Michigan. There are several companies that do wonderful job. And I would strongly encourage you to at least contact one of those companies and get a quote for what they're doing. It can be quite expensive. However, what it does is it allows you to focus your time on developing people rather than sourcing materials. It takes so much work to try to find a good soundboard and then get the best price for it, and then make sure that your in-ear monitors are going to play nice with it, and that your speakers have the right wattage, and all of those different things. And And that's time that you're not going to be able to be with leaders and the lost, which is what you need to be doing in your pre-launch season. So I think it's worth the money to let professionals design a system for you that essentially becomes turnkey so that you can focus your time on the things that are going to matter the most. Do what only you can do.
Yeah, I want to hit that hard because we love our PCI guys. They were crucial. We had no idea the amount of training that was going to be needed. Like, we thought we knew, but we had no clue. And so when they showed up for a weekend and they were training our team, man, it just blew us away. So they flew out two guys, they put together the whole system, and then those two guys trained every single area of our church, from how to set up the kids department, how to set up the lights in kids, how to set up the projector in kids, how to set up our worship theater, how to set up our lobby, our next steps, everything. They trained on it. And I look back to that moment, if we hadn't had those two guys, we would have been so overwhelmed, so stressed. I just don't know if we would have kept our integrity, honestly. Like, it would have been really overwhelming. And so we're so grateful. And then there was a moment, probably 6 months in, where we had trouble with some of our microphones just cutting in and out. And one of the guys that was currently on our team, he kept saying, oh, we need this machine or this thing that's going to fix that. And I almost like dropped a couple grand on whatever it was that was going to fix it. But first we called our PCI guys and we're like, this is happening. Can you help us? And they're like, oh, well, that shouldn't be happening. They flew out a guy on their own dime to come fix the problem. And then they set us up with the better system to make it work, because it shouldn't have been happening in the first place. So we're very, very impressed with Portable Church Industries. Check them out.
Now, I will say, we're not getting paid. They are not advertisers on our podcast.
We just really love them.
We're saying this because they really have helped us. Now, there are, again, lots of other companies that do the same thing. So do your homework and figure out which one's going to be a best fit for you. Whether you contract with a company like PCI or you decide to source all of your components yourself, you're going to have to manage the tension of having limited budgets but needing quality gear. And it is going to be a challenge. You're going to have to make compromises. You're going to have to choose to buy something cheaper than what you want or a lower quality version of something because you need money in other areas. It's going to be a struggle, but do the very, very best you can. I'll say that it's not a matter of pay now or pay later, because you will be paying now no matter what. The question is whether or not you're going to pay in dollars or volunteer hours. That's the thing. Mm. If you pay to have a really great, efficient system on the front end, yes, it's going to cost you more money, but it's going to cost you less volunteer frustration. And so you can choose to do it another way, but know that the likelihood goes up that your volunteers will be frustrated, potentially burned out, and leave before you have the opportunity to show them what an efficient system really does look like. Not only do you need efficiency, but you need consistency. That consistency in setup prevents delays and distractions. One of my friends, Stephen Collins, who pastors in Washington, he talks about having excellence with efficiency, that both of those things are possible. You do not have to choose one or the other. You can be excellent and efficient, but it's going to take a little bit of work on your part. And we like to highlight again that if you are doing it well in portability, then kids and women should be able to jump in and serve mm-hmm. as easily as any men, because it's not about lifting heavy things. It's about rolling. It's about plugging in. It's about, you know, rolling up signs and banners and things like that. And literally anybody can do those
things. I think
things.
We have just as many women as we do men on our portability team. And I love, love, love the fact that we have so many kids, Dream Team kids, that come and serve at 7:30 in the morning. They'll have their little breakfast and then they're setting up cards and the cup holders, and they're helping their dad push the cart. And I just love it so much because it's teaching them how to serve.
So not only do you need venue excellence, online excellence, equipment excellence, if you are going to be portable and kill it, you're going to need excellence on your volunteer team. Mm-hmm. And that means that you are going to have to set some standards with your volunteers and then hold their feet to the fire. What we've discovered, and we had to learn it the hard way, was that most people will rise to the level of excellence that you require, but some won't, and that's okay.
Yeah, I see this a lot with worship. And I think worship, we'll get into this later, but worship calls for another level of excellence. It takes time on their own that they have to practice, and then extra time that we have to meet together to rehearse, and then earlier time to come together. And sometimes people just can't, put all that in. And so there was a season where we had a couple guys who just couldn't get there on time. So they were excellent at playing their instrument, but they were not good at being there for the rest of the team. And so I had to set that standard and that expectation. And ultimately they had to be dropped from the team. There was another case where a girl, I knew she had a long drive, but we said 7:30 is when you have to be here. And she would consistently show up an hour late, which is crazy to me. And there was one point where I just had to pull her aside and say, sorry, you're not serving today. And I hate this, but I think it made her cry, but I think it also made her realize, like, I've got to step up. So you set that bar, and then you don't move that bar, because that's the bar, and everyone else will rise up. And if they can't, then maybe they should be serving on a different team that's a little bit less pressure. So every team has its different entrance levels. You know, if they're just holding a door, you know, they can show up at 9 o'clock and it's fine. But if they want to be on the front, if they want to be playing an instrument or have a microphone, there's another level of excellence that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And so systems are what will make your Sunday mornings enjoyable for your volunteers. You need processes that are reproducible and scalable. So you need to have a system for setting up your worship space. You need to have a system for setting up your kids' space, your lobby area. And whoever's serving on your volunteer portability team, they need to be able to train the next volunteer that comes along. You shouldn't have a staff member or a professional doing it. It should be so simple and so clear to every volunteer what they're supposed to be doing that if you paired them up with a newbie, they would be able to communicate everything that person needed to know within a couple of few weeks, depending on the role, in order to start doing it on their own. Systems are incredibly important. Not only are you going to need systems, but you're going to need manuals and handbooks to train your teams with excellence. You can't simply rely on verbal communication every so often to communicate to your volunteers what you expect of them. You have to have something written down that you can bring them back to time and time again that continues to communicate the same information, because people will forget. They'll overlook the things that you think are important because it didn't seem important to them as they were listening. But if you have it written down, then they can constantly refer back to the things that are required of them each and every Sunday. It is so important that you have manuals for everything and as early as you possibly can.
Yeah, I definitely recommend that you write those pre-launch.
As best you can, get them written early. Also, find other churches and just ask for theirs. Ask for their kids ministry manual. Mm-hmm. Ask for their portability manual, their capture manual. Send us an email, hello@newchurchhustle.info, and we'll share our manuals from Connect Church with you. Take them, slap your logo on them, and use them as your own. Whatever it takes in order to make sure you have written documentation for your volunteers. Then when it comes to those volunteers, you need to be sure that you celebrate their excellence privately. When you see it, as soon as you see a volunteer killing it in whatever role or capacity, you should tell them in the moment, you're doing a great job today. Thank you so much for all your hard work. And then you need to celebrate them again later publicly in front of the rest of your team, because what gets celebrated gets repeated. And if you only do it privately but never publicly, you're not teaching the rest of your team what behaviors and values you expect out of the group at large.
And also, I want to jump in here and say that teamwork over solo work is important. We like to pair people up. So if somebody's setting up for kids theater and they're putting up to the lights and the projection and all of that, we make sure that there's two people in there, not just one person, because they're also doing community and life together. They're growing together in their faith. And so we want to pair them together so that no one ever feels alone in the task that they've been given.
Yeah, here's the thing that you need to remember as we wrap up. excellence fades over time. No organization will drift towards excellence on accident. Mm-hmm. It takes intentionality. It takes hard work. It requires you as the leader of the church holding your volunteers accountable, casting a compelling vision as to the reason why you're doing it. And that is so that people can come in and have a distraction-free environment in which they encounter God's overwhelming love for them. That's the reason that we want to make sure we are portable and excellent. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of New Church Hustle. We are excited to get into our regularly scheduled content with you in just a couple of weeks, and we can't wait to have those conversations with you.